Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. This is the spot. This is the location. This is the best place on the cotton picking planet to get information, okay? Because our guests are sharp and the conversations are pointed and the responses are never dull. And today's no different. We've got Caroline Clark. And you know what she does, Brains? She is an emotional abuse recovery specialist. Who doesn't need some recovery? Who doesn't need some reinvention? Who doesn't need to build up their resilience? Well, we're going to talk about abuse of women and narcissistic behaviors from women and men. The yearning for the love of a mother, what that looks like, and what is it when you're not able to fulfill those needs as a mother? Because just because the baby comes out of you, that doesn't automatically mean that you're equipped to do what, quote unquote, society says a mother should do. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Welcome her to the edge. How are you, Caroline Clark?
Hi, April. I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for wanting to be had. So tell us a little bit about you and your life there in Australia and what you are doing and helping people through this process, because it's a lot.
Yeah, so I am English, originally from the Yorkshire, the north of England, and I came to Australia about 20 years ago for a better life, knowing that I would have one day children, which was my hope and my dream, and to provide them with more opportunities than what I had growing up. And it's been a hell of a journey, really, throughout my own relationship struggles. I left my marriage of 20 years last year, so I'm now a single parent of four beautiful boys.
Wow, you got four boys?
Four boys. I had no prior experience to boys. I grew up around girls, so they've taught me a lot, and I do believe deep down that I was given boys for a reason. Wow. Someone once said to me that it's to instill your trust back in men again, which I found very fascinating. So I'm here now through my own journey of living with a covert narcissist. I am now a specialist in emotional...
Okay, so wait. Dial back, girl, because I want people to get all of this. So when you say a covert narcissist, how can somebody be an undercover narcissist? I don't get it.
Yeah, and neither did I, April, for 20 years. These are very clever, very counterfeit, very intelligent people who, they subconsciously they prey upon empaths, so bleeding empaths who just want to people please, fix, rescue, all of the wounds that came from childhood that have not yet come to the surface. You're on this earth of this person who just wants to give. So you've got a giver who's the empath, you've got a taker who's the narcissist. So this is a beautiful song and dance between this dynamic in this relationship. So covert narcissist is something I only really discovered about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm going out into the world and my huge mission is to raise awareness, because there are so many people that have no idea the depths that they're in with these covert narcissists, because you've got this deep feeling within that something feels wrong. And that's what started with me. I've got this feeling that something's wrong in the relationship, but they are so clever, they don't leave a trace. So you are...
Okay, well, wait. Let me, because I like to interject here somewhere. Because people are naive, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's you, I'm just saying in general, okay? So narcissist, that's a big $25 word. There's certain characteristics that narcissists hold. And I understand that they do prey on not necessarily empaths, because Empathic people aren't weak people. Empathic people are in tune to emotion. They're a heightened sense of awareness because they tune into joy and happiness as a frequency, just like they do to pain and despair. So in some situations, people are not aware of, you know, maybe husband cheating or wife cheating, hiding money, you know, drug abuse, alcoholism, sex addiction. I get all of that. But when you say that they're clever, is this just in relationships or is this them as a person? Can you define that for me a little bit? So, Caroline, can you just frame this for me a little bit? Tell me a little bit more in depth about this covert narcissist.
Well, I think I can speak from my own experience in that when I say they're quite very intellectual, it means that they actually... They haven't been able throughout their childhood to connect to their hearts. So that's when we say there's a lack of empathy, because predominantly they live in their heads. So everything is very, you know, frontal lobe, very intellectual. Their language is, for me in particular, the language entrapped me. So there was promises, there was little lies, there was this belief that, you know, he would change. It stays here, April. It doesn't actually get into the heart, into the soul. So there's this incongruence. And in my situation, he was very intelligent. So how he spoke, how he wrote was, it duped me. It was an illusion because actions never match the words. So I grew up with an overt narcissist. So narcissism for me, as you can imagine, was very familiar, hence me being drawn energetically to another narcissist. So growing up,
your parents were you had a parent that was narcissistic as well?
I had a narcissistic father. So in my experience with my sister, you know, you have the bleeding empath mom, and we have the just to generalize here, the bleeding empath mom and the narcissistic father. So I went down the bleeding empath and my sister's gone down the narcissistic route because that's what we were taught, that's what we embodied growing up. And then energetically I looked for a father figure to heal that wound of not being good enough for my dad, that wound of not having validation, not feeling worthy. So when I found my husband, I was actually, my little girl was looking for a father figure. She was looking for someone to come and give her and all of the things that she didn't have from him emotionally, excuse me, in childhood. So energetically, that's what I was looking for. And energetically, he was also looking for a mother figure because his mother figure wasn't emotionally available. So you're actually trauma bonding from unmet needs. So this is not an adult perspective. This is an inner child,
right?
A wounded inner child who's subconsciously looking to fill that void within, and that's how I was attracted to the narcissist.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? You've done the work, honey, because you defined exactly what it is, and a lot of people still don't know who they are. They're still seeking. They're still lost. They're still in pain. They're being, you know, objectified, they're being bullied, they're being mistreated. And you said it's some inner child work. Tell us a little bit about your childhood with your mother.
Yes, so my first memory, April, is, is my, I must have only been 4 or 5 years old, and there was some verbal and physical abuse. And I remember vividly standing on mom and dad's bed and breaking up this fight. That you imagine this tiny little girl, and I ripped open dad's shirt and I was yelling, leave my mum alone, leave mum alone. And I feel in that moment for me, there was a divine change in I can never trust a man. This is a man who is supposed to protect us, keep us safe, and he's actually attacking my mother. So life changed for me in an instant. There was a lot of alcohol abuse. There was a lot of fights. Dad was very controlling. Mum was the victim. She said before she died that she made her bed and she had to lie in it. She wasn't courageous enough to leave. So I grew up around mom being her emotional caregiver. So I took on that responsibility. All I ever wanted as a little girl was for mom to be happy. So I did everything in my power to fill that void, to become that emotional, I guess that husband figure. So looking back really on my childhood, there was a lot of responsibility placed upon this little girl. As a 7-month-old, I almost died, and that's where the abandonment wound began. So we have to look at where all these wounds started and then how they play out in later life. So when I almost died as a 7-month-old, I was strapped in this cot with a tube for 10 days, strapped arms and feet, and almost left, really. Mom wasn't with me. So this baby felt that no one was coming back for her. No one was going to pick her up and comfort her. So there was the abandonment wound that first was ripped open. And then throughout my life, I attracted people in who continually emotionally abandoned me because they were playing out a very, very old wound that I had no idea about until I started to do the work. The inner child work is the only way to inner freedom. To take responsibility for where we are in our lives right now. Why do we choose to stay in these relationships? And I use the word choice because everything in life is a choice. Why do we choose to stay with a person that is emotionally abusing us? We stay there because there are wounds from childhood that we still haven't looked at. There's this abyss of festering pain and hurt that is, we're too afraid to look at. If you can heal that little girl who is looking out for that to dissolve all of that hurt from childhood, and she's looking for it in another. She's looking for that husband. She's looking for that friend.
Right. But she's never looking for herself.
She's too scared to look at herself.
Well, you're seeking validation from outside influences. And brains, I tell you all the time, nobody's going to love you like you're going to love you. Nobody's going to hold you and embrace you. But again, I want you to go back and I want you to explain this modality of inner child work. A lot of people, you know, is it psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, ayahuasca? what is it that gets a person into that? Is it meditation? Is it a Reiki? Is it a combination of all? Is it, you know, talk therapy?
It's a combination of all, April, but if I can just explain to you the concept of the inner child between the ages of 0 and 7 is when your unconscious mind is formed. So in your unconscious mind is where you store your emotions, your values, your habits, your thoughts, your feelings, how you see the world, how your parents have shown you how to picture yourself. So from 0 to 7, you imagine that's then how you will run your adult life based upon the feelings of how you see the world, how you see yourself. If you grow up in a household where you're treated like you are less than, where you're told that you're wrong, you're chastised, you're told to mute and silence yourself, do as I say, which is the childhood home that I was brought up in, do as I say, but not as I do. So you have this false perception of who you are. Your ego is formed, your identity is formed based upon how your parents see you, how your brothers and sisters see you, how your teachers. So this is this inner child between the ages of 0 and 7. When you then enter an abusive relationship, all of the emotions you feel within that relationship, your hurt, your guilt, your sadness, your pain, is your wounded inner child acting out. Mm. When you come into conflict with someone and you react from a wound. It's a wound that's festering, that's desperate to be healed. It's calling out to you, look within, heal me. But what do we choose? We choose to numb. We choose to sabotage. We choose to look for, you know, solace in another. Mm. The inner child is screaming for you to reparent her or him, which is going back within and with compassion and forgiveness and awareness. And the modalities that I use is hypnotherapy, because that's the way that we can speak to the unconscious mind and rewire that part of your brain. Meditation's amazing, podcasts. But essentially, it's rewiring those patterns that have been formed between the ages of 0 and 7. So you imagine it's like rebooting a computer. You update your software every so often. You might replace your computer. Imagine having all of this technology and never maintaining it, never looking at why it's not working for you. Just go and buy another one because this system isn't working right now. It's the same with your psyche.
When you do this type of work with individuals, you're giving them an opportunity to reframe a new picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So through your hypnotherapy, are they reliving these experiences, or do they get to a certain point, and at that point they have an opportunity to reshape it, redesign it, relive it? I don't, you know, I've never had that work kind of work done. So tell me, when you get someone that's in this space, and I'm sure that it's more than one session.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of breakthroughs that they have to make. And yeah. Then, that's my first question. And then when they realize, well, hell, look at who's been here this whole time, this beautiful, you know, Carolyn Clark. They have to reintroduce themselves to themselves. That's an adjustment too.
Mm-hmm. So just in order to answer your first question, the work that I do, April, is I don't keep them stuck in the story, because it's not really about the story itself. We obviously touch on the story, but the story is what keeps you stuck. Become a victim to the story. So the work that I do is we look at the emotional attachment to the story. It's the emotional charge. So it may be the shame, the trauma, the hurt, the guilt. So what I do with my work is I take away that emotional charge that is working behind the scenes, that's firing you up, that's causing you to react. So the story isn't what we predominantly focus on, because we want to take you into responsibility and out of victimhood. You're not a victim to your parents, to your circumstance, to the event, to the abuse. You're now responsible for reframing your life, changing the paradigm, choosing a new chapter, a new story. So with that, we rewire the brain to have healthy, positive affirmations about who you are. When we've gone within and looked at the beauty within you, because when you're in an abusive relationship, you've lost sense of that beauty, the gifts, the light within. It's been darkened. And the person you're with is constantly reaffirming to you the dark side in order to strip you of your worth, steal away your soul. So we go within and we redeem that. We take you back to who you truly are. And you may never, most people don't even know who they are. They sit with me.
That's exactly what I said. When you know, because when you go somewhere, you're meeting somebody's representative. And brains, you're telling me a story if you don't. When you go, you're putting on your best. I mean, when you put on those eyelashes and the lipstick and the makeup and all of that, I'm just using women as an example. You know, you're sending out the best. You're radiating yourself. And then when you open your mouth, people can tell who you are. If you're classless, if you're rude, you're disrespectful, if there's shame associated with it, if there's pain associated with it, as soon as you open your mouth, they'll be able to identify with who you are. So making that adjustment to reintroduce yourself to a person that you didn't even know exist is a challenge. And I'll give you guys an example. I had a friend. Bless her heart. She had a gastric bypass surgery. She had this beautiful raven tattooed all across her back. She lost all this weight. The raven went from a raven down to a crow. She just, you know, got really thin, and face got really thin, and she looked great, but she had one hell of a time adjusting to the new person, to who she was. That put her in, and this is not everybody, more in a tailspin than it was when she had that extra 100 pounds. So you work with people also to help them discover who they are, because you can't bring that out of them. I mean, you can help them, but you can't design that. Does my question make sense?
Yeah, I think through beautiful, actually the work that I do is I'm very nurturing. So I talk to their inner child. By talking to their inner child in this beautiful, nurturing, mothering way, I'm actually inviting them in. And in a lot of my work, we'll actually go meeting a child. We'll go into hypnotherapy and we'll go and find her. And some of my clients say she's hiding. Okay, what do we need to say to her so that she can trust you again? How do we need to talk to her to invite her back to you? So we go on this beautiful journey of rediscovery so the inner child can actually feel safe to come back to you. The reason the inner child is so disconnected is because we've ignored her or him. We've self-abandoned. Mm. We're not able, when she's screaming out, get out of this relationship, this person's bad, and you ignore that, what you're doing, you're actually pushing her further away. So she might be 10 miles down the road, but we're going to go and find her, and we're going to reintroduce her, bring her back home. And we get her on your lap or him on your lap, and we cuddle them. And sometimes I'll use props. And it's about retrusting. And it's interesting because my mission in life right now, April, is to change the paradigm for the next generation. Four sons, gifted with four beautiful sons. What's the bigger message in all of this? The message is, I have come from my upbringing, the maternal side is the empathic bleeding empath, and the males have been the narcissistic perpetrators. I've got four sons. That is a huge, big shoes to fill in order for me to cut the cord to the abuse. How do I do that? Certainly, I don't follow my mother's route, which was do not marry anyone like your father. So I said to the universe, I'm not going to marry my father. The universe doesn't know I'm not. It just hears, marry my father, which is what I did energetically. Mm. So the only way that I can teach my children to live life differently to what I did is by finding my self-worth, by teaching them authenticity, teaching them how to come into their heart, rediscover who they are. And this misconception of love that I grew up around was, find your soulmate, they'll complete you. Mm. You need to complete yourself first in order to come together with another. And one example I use with my sons when they say, oh, someone's been mean to me, what I now say is, which I wasn't taught, are they worthy of you? Are they worthy of your friendship? Are they worthy of your time? Are they deserving of you? It was, for me, it was the other way around. I needed to prove my worth to others. Mm. Prove that I was good enough, whereas it actually comes within, and then you attract energetically exactly how you feel about yourself. There is a term that says so within, so without. So if you're feeling poor, if you're feeling abandoned, rejected, not worthy, you're going to introduce people into your world who mirror how you feel about yourself. And this is why we attract toxic people. All they're doing is mirroring back to us and reflecting how we truly feel about ourselves. So we need to change that internal dialogue.
Right. Okay.
And I saw this. I was a police officer. I was a police officer for 8 years and I witnessed abuse. And I remember saying, there's no way I would ever tolerate this, because it was physical, April. I'd never seen this hidden, covert, counterfeit abuse. I'd only seen physical. I couldn't identify with it. So my mission now, my purpose, is to go out into the world and educate people on this covert abuse and educate them how to come within and feel their intuition, trust that inner knowing that is telling you this doesn't feel right, and not to ignore it. And if you are ignoring it, I find out why you're ignoring it. Why are you choosing not to listen to your inner knowing that knows way more than your conscious mind does?
Right. And, you know, this is very timely, because there's a very big high profile lawsuit that's going on now with Johnny Depp. I've always been a Johnny Depp fan, but he always seemed like a little different. And now he is suing his wife for abuse and defamation. But they don't ever lead credence to a man having emotion, being victimized. But that too can stem from mommy issues. We had a president, number 45. You never heard of him speak favorably about women or his mother. To me, that's a key indicator of how you might have been mistreated. There are women that have children And they're not prepared to be mothers. They don't know what it is. And as you said, it's epigenetics. If they were never taught, you can't do better if you don't know better. So we get to this point in our life where we've reframed, we've done the work, we've seen the patterns of the narcissist, that we know that's not the direction that we want to go, but there's still something in us. Now, and I just used your boys as an example. They are in this place between you and their father. And it's a fine dance and a delicate dance because dad probably doesn't think that anything's wrong, you know? And you saw it. How are you helping them navigate? And I know that it's, you know, case by case, you got four different personalities. But again, like you said, firstly, you're asking them to ask the question, is this person worthy of your time and your energy? But what else are you pouring into them to help them weather the storm? Because it's going to get tough.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And particularly as I express my passion about changing the next generation, because yes, some mothers aren't equipped, but it's also our responsibility to our children to become equipped. And as I said before, that's a choice. The first thing, when the fog lifted and I realized I had this huge awakening that I was in a covert narcissist relationship, for me, there was a huge sense of relief. So I knew what I was dealing with. I then educated myself. I did everything possible to understand how covert narcissists operate. You need to be one step ahead of them. Mm. One step ahead, so almost predicting how they're going to operate. Now, with my children, the same behaviors are playing out. It's the abandonment of the children. It's the rejection. It's the self-centeredness. Mm. So I would say two of them are very attuned. My gift to them is to actually teach them that they are good enough no matter what. So when my son says to me, "Dad doesn't care," how I reframe that is I say, "I just want you to know that no matter what, you are good enough within. Your father hasn't got the capabilities to meet you where you deserve to be met. Your father didn't have the emotional upbringing from his own mother to be able to meet your needs. It's not about you as a person." I never had that growing up. I took everything personally and I felt that I needed to change. Mm. So the subtleties that I can, the difference I can make with my children is just to teach them that no matter what, they are worthy. They are good enough. It's the father hasn't evolved enough to be able to father them in the way that they deserve to be fathered.
Right. Well, you got your work cut out for you because not only are you helping your sons and continuously evolving as a woman and discovering things about yourself, I tell people, it's not over till it's over. You learn something new about yourself or the world around you every single day. Mm-hmm. But you've taken the time to document this, and you shared something with me, and we talked a little bit about it in the green room because I read it intensely, and I read it from a different set of eyes, not a judgmental set of eyes, but from the perspective of a mother that my mother walked on water. You know, there was nothing that we didn't discuss, we didn't have, we didn't hug, we didn't love, we didn't kiss, we didn't cry together. So I've had many guests on my show that were not able to be afforded, and I call it a luxury, of that type of upbringing. Some people have turned to drugs and alcohol, they've gotten very hard, they've, again, not done the work and passed it on to their children. And so your letter touched me because it was very raw. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but you poured out your emotions. And I was kind of scared to, you know, for you to share that with the world because it was so vulnerable. But you made it very clear to me that through your vulnerability and you being a risk taker is going to elevate and alleviate the pain of others. And so I commend you for that. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, April. That's beautiful because I did spend a long time soul searching and I realized that in the relationship with a narcissist, I was muted. As a child, I was muted. I lost my voice because I was judged, manipulated, controlled. And one day I woke up and I thought to myself, if I hide my story, then I'm doing a disservice to all of the people in the world that are struggling and suffering the way I suffered. So I also had to think not only about my mother and the consequences of that, but also my ex, how it would affect my children later on in life when they read my stories. But unless I go out there and express how I felt and show others from a soul level, I write from the soul. And in November last year, I started writing on these narcissistic groups. I was inundated with people private messaging me saying, you have written and articulated all that I am not able to say. Mm-hmm. So that for me, there was a bigger message in that perhaps my writing is going to heal people on a global scale. So I did continue to write letters to dad, to mom. And my letter to mom was more about an awareness around what we're teaching our children. She taught me by staying in an emotionally abusive relationship that that's okay. That's where we stay. We have a commitment to our children to remain in the family home. And then I followed her pattern. I did exactly the same. If she'd have showed me the courage and the strength to walk away, that she deserved better, I would never have entered this narcissistic relationship. And this is the power of inner child work and self-awareness, is we will repeat our parents' patterns unless we go within and do the work. It's God-given.
Right.
So when my clients sit here and I say to them, in 30 years' time, if your daughter was sitting here having the same conversation with me, how would you feel? She said, I would be distraught. Mm-hmm. Well, if your gift to your children can be you changing, you healing, you cutting the cords to this abuse, then you're gifting your child with a life of freedom, freedom that we never had. It's huge work.
Right. It is. And it's beautiful work. But mm-hmm. let's talk about some of the other beautiful things that you do. So you just got the S on your chest. That's my favorite thing. Because see, I wear an S on my chest, girl. I know my superpower. What is your superpower? Caroline, what is your superpower?
I would say my superpower is my intuition. And I feel from a very young age, I was very spiritual and connected to my intuition, but that was dampened through my childhood. I think my intuition is what carries me through life. And I've got a real fierce sense of self-belief. Even as a young girl, I was writing at the age of 9 years old. I had a gift with writing back then. But I always had this feeling of self-belief. You've got the power to change. You've got the power to go forth in your life and create your own destiny. So even though in the relationship that sort of dampened and dissolved, it was always there. So I would say that's my superpower, is my strength and my intuition.
And so again, when you pulled that S on your chest and you said, today is the day. Today is the day that I am going to break free. How did you feel? Did you fall to your knees and cry? Did you raise your hands to the sky? Did you go have two or three shots of tequila? What did you do?
Well, it actually took me 5 years to get to that place. So for the people out there that are in that situation, it just doesn't happen overnight. And there's a saying that when women are ready, they're ready. And when you say, I've had enough, you've had enough. And also women have already made the decision 4 years prior to leaving. It takes men 4 years to actually get to that point of fully accepting. So there's like this 8 year, gap of women have been in that situation over and over ruminating and finding the courage to leave. What's really interesting, the day I decided to leave was after a comment that he made to me, and it was just possibly quite a subtle comment, but it was enough for me to say I've had enough. And I sat him down for the 50 millionth time and said, we need to talk about our relationship. And he looked me in the eye and he said to me, you're boring me. This is boring. And in that moment, this little voice in my head said, you deserve better. And I just went, I'm done. In my mind, I'm done. So we made an agreement to leave, and immense relief. I would like to add that when you're suffering emotionally, your physical body will give you signs. So there'll be aches and pains, disease, illness, sickness. And the body is there to to talk to you, but we ignore the aches and pains. We take pills, we go to the doctor, we go, I want this to go away. It's the emotional component of yourself speaking to you. So before I left, I had depression, I had brain fog, I had back pain, I had anxiety, I couldn't breathe, I was having panic attacks, I was suffocating emotionally. Whenever he came around me, I couldn't breathe. My soul was crushed, my soul was suffocating. And at night time, I'd go to bed and I would itch to the point where I bled. I would wake up in the morning covered in scabs. And then I looked at my arms one day and I said, oh my goodness, that's what used to happen to mom. I remember as a teenager saying, mom, you've got scabs. And oh, darling, I itch. I itch when I go to bed. I don't know what it is. And I went, holy moly, I am literally living my mom's life. Within a week of him leaving, immense relief, freedom, like I could breathe again. The panic attack stopped, the itchy skin went away, the back pain left. And I walked out into the street and someone stopped me 7 days after leaving. And they said, oh, you look 10 years younger. What's your secret? And on the inside, I was singing, freedom, freedom.
Yes.
Because it's not until you take yourself out that you realize how much you're suffering.
How much you're suffering.
I could look at myself. I was sitting on a fence looking in on myself going, holy moly, you're free.
Wow. So in this freedom, you decided to, and now are you in an anthology? You're in an anthology, but you're also writing your own book.
I'm writing my own book. I am. Okay. I feel like I was, the people have spoken to me. They've written to me from every story that I post, and which on my new website now I've got my blog. So all of the stories that I'm writing, I'm actually uploading onto my blog.
Okay.
The people spoke to me and I felt that my stories, because it's written from the soul. It's almost like I'm coming into your life and narrating to you how you feel, how alone you are, how tormented. So I talk about the abuse from your perspective, from this perspective of a survivor. So it not only raises awareness, but it's a journey into freedom. It's following my journey, how I got from the depths of despair into ultimate freedom, shining a light on your darkness, showing you that there's a way out. So it's almost self-discovery healing, but it's written from the perspective of a survivor on a deep soul level.
Mm. What brings you the greatest joy? What makes you happy and smile?
Nature. Mm. I'm very blessed to live on 3 acres and walking in nature. Look, nature's very healing. Yes. When you walk out into nature, that's where my creativity comes alive. I'll take my phone and I'll just speak into it because all my stories come alive. I get connecting to my intuition happens even more so in nature. Mm-hmm. Nature and Mother Earth is extremely healing for me.
What's your favorite food when you just want to indulge? What's your favorite food that makes you happy?
Favorite food? I love Thai food. I love spices, corianders, beautiful veggies. I'm celiac, so I'm very strict with my diet.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, you don't go for that pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
No, so I am celiac, so I'm very extremely healthy. But again, when it comes to when you look at your relationship, you have a commitment to yourself,
right,
to have a healthy mind, body, spirit. Exactly. I could have released myself from this relationship. But then if I'm sitting eating ice cream and corn chips, then right, I'm not giving my body exactly what it needs.
You're just filling it with another, you know, distraction. Yeah, what do you say to the woman that is distracted right now? You know, she's kind of on the fence. She, you know, she feels what you feel. She knows that there's a reality there, but she just doesn't know where to begin. She just doesn't know how to break free. What do you say to her?
I would say, come and do the work. Come and look at what's keeping you stuck. Let's look back into your childhood. Let's look back at the patterns. Go back to your childhood and let's look at your self-worth growing up. Let's look at, were you allowed to voice yourself? How were you treated? How did your parents model their relationship? And right now you're sitting on the fence because you're gripped by fear. Mm. There's a fear of the future. So we go into that dread. What's the dread ahead of you that's keeping you where you are now? Because usually with women, it's financial. We are so codependent financially.
Oh, I know that, girl. They need the money. It's the money and the sex.
But the thing is, April, the money's just an illusion, because let me tell you, if I can speak to the world and say to every woman out there who's in fear of money, I left this relationship when I had no job and not one cent of savings for myself. But I didn't. The inner voice came to me and said, trust that you will be looked after if you just set yourself free. So the fear is around, how will I survive? How can I parent my children? How can I continue living in this house? It's all fear driven. But underneath the fear is a limiting belief that you don't truly believe that you can create that by yourself. Right. Hence the codependency. So if someone's sitting on the fence, I would sit with them and talk to the fear. Talk to what's keeping you stuck. And then we do all the childhood stuff. And then we reframe the future. We rewire the brain that tells you, you can't leave, stay where you are, play small, stay quiet. How are you going to cope on your own? It's all these little voices that we need to quieten down, and we need to replace them with voices that say, come on, girl, get up on your feet. You can do this. Right. You're not your mother. You're not your mother. You're you now.
Right. Quieting that monkey mind. Okay, so you're probably doing great. You know, I mean, you're looking like brand new money. Are you preparing yourself for love again?
Outside
of self-love, because you're doing the work on that daily. But, you know, relationships. Are you preparing yourself?
It's funny because I feel I'm ready for love, but there was the work needed to be done to get to this position. There are so many people out there that repeat back to me, I'm on my fourth narcissist, and I say, holy moly, how can that be? The reason is because you haven't done the work around why you energetically attracted to a narcissist. So,
or you're drawn to that personality, and, you know, again, not necessarily that you've done the work, because you've done the work, but you're going to run into other individuals that haven't done the work. And you're so strong now, you know?
But the thing is, once you've done the work, you've got the awareness of the red flags. Now, the reason that you were drawn to narcissists in the first place is that love bombing phase. All the promises of this beautiful life, the gifts, the words of affirmation, that's what we're drawn to, because that's the fake illusion to pull you in, to get you to exactly where they want you before the devaluing and the discard stage starts. So when it comes to love, what I've been working on this last year is, what am I looking for in love? What are my values? And of those values, am I actually authentically and congruently living my life with those same values? Here's the goal. So if I'm looking for someone who's trustworthy, am I trusting my inner self, or am I letting people walk all over me? If I'm looking for someone who's safe and can protect me, am I keeping myself safe? Am I protecting? Am I putting boundaries around myself? Co-parenting with a narcissist, you need some really strong boundaries. So what I've realized is, in order to attract the person that I desire, I need to live the life with the values of the person I'm looking for. Otherwise, I'll just attract, what is it? So within, so without. Mm-hmm. So wealth. Creating my own wealth, then I'll attract someone who's good with money, not someone who just sabotages.
Right. Or somebody who has my money. Yeah, well, you are doing the work, and you are just, you know, this has been powerful. It's really good, and I enjoyed this conversation so much. And brains, female and male. We're talking, you know, primarily to female, but men, understand that we love you too. And we're not beating up on you and ganging up on you. You've been through a lot too, but be open enough and vulnerable enough to have these conversations, to do your own inner child work. Mm-hmm. You will grow, you will evolve, and you will be, and of course, it's going to hurt, because there's people that you've hurt it intentionally and unintentionally. You've hurt yourself more than anything. You've denied an opportunity to be truly loved and valued for who you are, for who you were born to be. You're combative, you're angry, there's a lot of hurt there. You've tried everything else. Why don't you try love and try to work with a person like a person like Caroline that understands and that is compassionate. Dude, now you have four young men. Would you work with a man in this capacity? Or do you work primarily with women?
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't discriminate, April, because there are far more men suffering out there than what we know of. And the reason is because so many men suffer with shame.
Yep.
That a high proportion of suicides from men is driven by shame. Mm-hmm. Because as young boys in that generation, boys were shame for crying, shame for showing their emotions. So they're very disconnected from their emotions. So imagine when they're in an abusive relationship, shame is huge. So I absolutely work with men. I love working with men. I've got four boys, so I know exactly how men work and operate, and I'm very nurturing of men. So in July, I'm running an online program called Earth, which is an emotional abuse recovery and therapeutic healing 8-week program. And in that, I do one for women and one for men. So there's 8 sessions. And in July, I start the women's, and in men, the men start in August, because we can't discriminate. If I want to go out with my huge mission of changing the world, then it is across the board. It is men, women, children, everyone.
And if we can combat this and we can have these open conversations and dialogues with one another, it will change the world, because the millennials aren't having the conversation that we're having now. They're not worried about race relations. They don't want a big house. They don't want a big car. They want to be able to pick up this device and work from anywhere. Money is not an issue. They want clean water. They want to be able to go to school here in the United States and not be worried about being gunned down. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that are going on in the world outside of picking on the one you love, the one that you lay next to, the one that's given birth to your children. How disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. And that brings up a lot of emotion for me, because it's pretty simple, really. If for me in particular, one person could have this huge change on the world. It's a ripple effect. For one person that heals, April, 70,000 people also are affected by that. Imagine if there's 10 people healing, the ripple effect that that has on the world. We can't ignore this. And it takes me to stand up and say, this is now my life's mission to dissolve this emotional abuse, so that our children, grandchildren, and beyond have an opportunity to live their lives feeling safe and secure, free to speak. Mm-hmm. It's our God-given right to have freedom of speech.
Well, that's a whole nother show, girl, because I'm telling you. People can't do it because, you know what? Another thing they don't do, they don't allow you to feel the feels.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't allow you to feel comfortable. We can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable.
Yes.
You know, there was a situation that happened with me the other day, and this person was, you know, standing up on their soapbox and they wanted to do all this. And I told them, look, I own it. I did it. I apologize. Now what? It diffused the situation right away. They couldn't keep doing this because I owned my part in it.
Exactly.
But I was not going to sit there and fester and let them continue to attack me, because I took responsibility for my actions. And that's the first thing. Take responsibility for your actions.
Absolutely. This is beautiful, because this is the first stage to recovery. If you choose to sit in blame the narcissist, as I said before, blame everyone around you, what you're choosing to do is stay stuck. Mm-hmm. Staying stuck is not going to heal your children. It's not going to heal your grandchildren. So stand up and taking responsibility is that April, I enabled it. I enabled it for 20 years. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stayed there. So I take responsibility for the part that I played. I take responsibility for the person I became in the marriage. But now I have a choice to take ownership and accountability. And then I'm teaching my children the same. And that's the one thing I did say to all four of them. If anyone treats you like you're less than, I give you permission to leave the relationship. Leave, whether that be with a friend or a family member. Don't stay where you are, because then you're just tolerating it, you're enabling it. It's having the power to take responsibility, to stand up and walk away and say, I am worth more. Like you did in that situation, you stood up and you said, I'm sorry, but I'm worth more than tolerating this. I will apologize, but then I'll take myself away because I'm taking responsibility. And when we respond and we don't react, reactivity is reacting from that childhood wound. When we respond, we are taking responsibility for how we choose to interact. That's the difference.
But I want to add to this, with that responsibility, you also have a responsibility to make corrective action.
Yes.
Okay. There was really not a lot of corrective action that I could do except for apologize. But what I did do is I'm more conscious now. When I get in a situation that's similar, equal to, or greater than, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to reframe it because I have the tools now. I know what I did. I know what didn't go well. And I know how it could have possibly went better. So take that into consideration. Don't just, you know, because then what happens is you're a dumping ground on yourself. Oh, okay, I take responsibility. Okay, I know I did this, I did this, I did this, but you never release it. You never reframe it. You never look at it from a different way, a different perspective, and try to change it. But I have enjoyed this conversation with you immensely, Caroline. You are just an amazing, amazing woman, and your courage is above reproach. Brains, when she publishes these letters, you better get your tissue and get your head right, because it is going to take you right where you maybe want to go, afraid to go, or need to be. Tell them how to get in contact with you, Caroline, so that they can work with you on a deeper level, virtually, to follow you, to join your groups, and to really try to get their head around, you know, narcissistic behavior, but also how to heal, how to grow, and how to become a better person.
Yeah, thank you, April. Yes, sure. So my website is Wholeheartedly Healed. So Wholeheartedly Healed, all one word, healed.com.au. I also have a Facebook group, which I publish my journey day by day, and that's called The Enlightened Empath. So enlightening you to make a change, to look within. And all my stories are in there, these stories of inspiration and also my journey. And hop onto my website and you will see all the details of the programs that I'm releasing, the deep transformational healing programs. This is deep work. It's not just sitting there and telling me a story. Right. It's to do the deep work.
It's deep. Okay. It's like the bottom of a well, deep brains, but you got to be ready to go there. Okay. Don't waste people's time. And the it's not Carolyn's time. It's your own time. We all have an expiration date. Don't go through this life. If I coulda, woulda, shoulda, at least try. And you will be surprised at what will be discovered and uncovered about the person that you're truly meant to be. Thank you so much.
And I think it's just to say before I leave, is just when you read my stories, that's when you feel the connection. So you might just be on the fence questioning, am I in a narcissistic relationship? I'm not quite sure. When you go on and read my stories on my website, that's when all becomes clear, because the things that I express within that on all my stories, will little lights will start to go off, red bulbs.
Yeah, not little red lights like flashing. you become aware. You do become aware. And you become aware of other people's circumstances. It makes you more empathetic. You know, when you see the signal for I'm in trouble, you understand that I need to help this person. You know, this is something I've been through, or this is something that no one should have to go through. So again, like I said, thank you so much for that. Brains, I need you to go in and like, love, and share right here on The Edge. Raise those numbers. YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on all over the planet. I want you to share this conversation with a male or female that you know that is hurting right now. I want you to pay attention to your own behaviors and see if there's something that needs correction. And if you're not in a vulnerable place, and you've got some joy and some love to share, I want you to share that too. Thank you so much, Caroline, for being here on The Edge with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
You're the best.
Thank you, darling. Bye.